Floyd song, then you've gone into the diaries, and you're saying, what's the point of all that? The other synchronicity with me is that book, True Hallucination, has a chapter called The Hawaiian Connection.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, because McKenna lived there, and for the last chapter of the story continues after he gets home and is trying to figure out the ideas and then trying to stumbles across the technique for cultivating mushrooms and then goes to Hawaii. And yeah, the last chapter is, before the epilogue, is being in Hawaii and the account of some wild trips there.
Does he get to Hawaii like by the late 70s, early 80s?
Yes.
Okay.
Something around there.
Okay. Is there another event that happens after that, or have you come to the post-conversation?
I guess I'm pretty... I think I started talking a little bit about just that as being an example of one of these, like, that of really that even as experienced as I am at this point with having these really remarkable coincidences and how that they don't, in a way, they don't phase me nearly like they would have in the past or something, or that it takes a lot to really knock my socks off or something, that that it still manages to up the ante and really stand out in relation to other ones, that this is one of those coincidences that just seems so right on the money with, you know, it wasn't just that song, and I recognized it was that song, the timing was perfect with that line, I could almost easily interpret it as Terrence McKenna's like answer to me feeling like why didn't you say something about crop circles or something?
Yeah.
That's just another way to have a separation so you can reconcile them and be surprised or something. that's my excuse. Like you're the one that brings them back together in your mind or something. Shocking for you.
All right.
But so that it was that, just that it's that specifically right on creates a feeling of an immediate reaction of the mind, like wildly groping about for explanations of, because it seems written. It certainly doesn't seem like it just sort of emerged out of the woodwork of randomness. Like, it's hard to believe that that just happened without being designed by something or someone. Like,
right.
it really probes me and doesn't just make me go, wow, that was a good one, I'm gonna write that down and share it. It like really it brings me into a bit of conflict with my sense of reality.
Right. Okay, so we then talked about that drama of cognition, and it didn't get on tape, and I want to recapitulate that, but before we do that, let me tell you some resonances with what this whole thing, and let's remember that day began with you looking at the gnome underneath the giant woman's legs.
Mm-hmm. Well, not that day exactly. This was a few days later and a good few episodes into the season. The Terrence McKenna coincidence and that X-Files episode I was watching on the 21st, and so it was late at night into the 22nd when that happened.
Right.
But seeing it in the newspaper was on the 17th.
Yeah, the gnome, the dwarf. Was
yeah,
on the 17th.
The world's shortest man who can walk.
Because remember, that's the Pink Floyd thing. It's the gnomes. Well, what's the line?
Oh, yeah. Another way for gnomes to say hooray.
Yeah. So you had a weird experience with the 44 of the lady and the Rumpelstiltskin or gnome, and then 4 days later, you had the same kind of weird bob pattern in another form. That was the X-Files, Mully, Scully, Mulder, McKenna, crop circle warp,
mm-hmm.
right? And so it was another way of doing it. So let me tell you, we're wondering why the discussion of X-Files, which is a significant dream a long time ago, and then this watching the X-Files after our latest conversation a month ago,
mm-hmm.
What's with this X-Files stuff? Okay, I'm looking at my Android Memes and Anachrony Diaries, and on February 3rd, 78, is my second
mm-hmm.
meeting with Philo Drummond and Doug St. Clair Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they come back to the bar after they saw me and met me the night before, and they were intrigued. So I just have a short version. I don't have the whole evening's conversation, so I just sort of synopsize it. And Doug, I have here, February 3rd, 78 in Dallas. Doug St. Clair Smith, in brackets, sitting in the same bar. He says, can you run that bias again, Mr. Dobbs? Stuff that I've been saying the night before and maybe had just been saying that night, but I'm going to say it again to him. But I only have it printed here once. You know what I mean? I'm not going to have to. Okay, so he says, can you run that bias again, Mr. Dobbs? And I say, ontologically, each one of us is now constituted of one-fifth chip, one-fifth neuron, one-fifth astrobody, one-fifth television screen, and one-fifth archetype. That's ontologically. Then I say, epistemologically, we are now constituted of one-fifth NASA, one-fifth CIA, one-fifth X-filing, one-fifth human scale, and one-fifth genetic engineer. Now, what's interesting is that these line up later with the five quadrants. You have the chip quadrant, the neuron, which would have been the chemical body later, the astral body, the television screen, which is the TV body, the McClune quadrant, and one-fifth archetype would be the Dobbs quadrant. Okay?
Yeah.
That's the way I had it 30 years ago. Now, that's the bottom-up. The top-down version of those five quadrants was the LaRouche quadrant, which is one-fifth neuron, is NASA. Okay? The McLuhan quadrant, which is one-fifth television screen, is one-fifth CIA. The Thompson quadrant, which is one-fifth astrobody, is one-fifth X-filing. Now, we've generally regarded you as being in the Thompson quadrant.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the X-filing. The X-files comes up in the in the Thompson quadrant. Now, I don't mean the X-file show. That doesn't show up for another 15 years. I'm talking about the files in intelligence agencies about weird phenomena, like looking into UFOs. There was a Project Blue Book came out in 69 with a report of the military's analysis of the UFO phenomenon since the 50s or late 40s. So back then we would call that the X-Files, you know, the files of weird wormhole X phenomena. So,
yeah, so that really was known as like X-Files and kind of thing before then.
In my solar secret government, secret council of 10 world, that's what we called it. Right, that in my intelligence level, that's what it was called. I don't know if anybody else used it. It's interesting. The X-Files start happening in the after image of the Android meme, and they use my term or my team's term. For an Android meme replay of the Thompson Quadrant, which is what the X-Files are, UFOs, weird phenomena, right? It's like what I call universal government. It's the weird world that we haven't mapped yet. Like, what is down in deep underwater zones? Is the Loch Ness monster really? Is it real? Are there life out there? What are the gnomes?
Strangeness barrier.
The what?
The like strangeness barrier, or the the fringes of our paradigm, or something.
Yes, and then the Croker quadrant is one-fifth genetic engineer, and what's interesting is that predicts Croker. He gets involved with genetic engineering and its mutations in his books after 2000. He drops the concern about the chip body, and he gets into the genetic mutations, and so actually. I kind of, quote, predicted or mimed it 30 years before that he would end up there. And then my zone is called one-fifth human scale, which gets into that whole story of Doug. Yeah, the Doug Carr, you know, the Doug Carr, Bob and Doug Carr. Anyway, so that's 30 years ago. So I'm seeing why, since you being concerned about ayahuasca or drugs and crop circles is the Thompson quadrant. Thompson's written about these issues. He's argued with McKenna through the years. You and my talking to you, you're very interested in that stuff, and so you are the X-Files gang, so your dream was predicted by what I said 25 years before. When did you have your dream, 2001?
Yeah, 2001, and that's how I wanted to bring it back to that time, actually, because the
let me finish this. So the X-File, okay, 78, that's like 23 years later is when the X-File shows up, and you the archetypal Thompson quadrant victim of five-bodied chart, right?
Yeah.
you're in that world, in that quadrant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, about March 71, let me tell you this. It's the first the first week of March 71, right around March 4th, that a huge event happened in Canadian history. Trudeau married Margaret Trudeau, or Margaret Sinclair, okay?
Oh, really?
Trudeau marries Margaret Sinclair in the first week of March 71. And that is the week I have a very important meeting with McLuhan, okay? That week.
Hmm.
And we don't know Trudeau is secretly getting married to Margaret Sinclair. And
secretly got married to?
Beg your pardon?
He secretly got married to her?
Oh, yeah. It was all hidden. And then after they got married, they announced it. And then, you know, he was shy. He had learned his lessons from his buddy McLuhan. He knew how to stay out of the media. You know, this is before celebrities in the 90s, they would hide. One of the...
Yeah.
Bill Gates, he rented an island right across from where I live on Maui. I think the island's called Lanai, I think. And he rented it one day, kicked everybody off. And that's how he had his wedding. So nobody could really bother him. He rented an island right off where I am. And that's what the story is. I heard some people telling me this the other day. I don't know much. I wasn't there. I don't know if it's a true story, but it probably is. But so Trudeau very early, you know, was aware of, you know, how to keep the media away from your private life, learning it from McLuhan. Now, it's very interesting. If you read the letters of McLuhan, he writes to McLuhan. McLuhan writes to Trudeau like a week later or something, saying, "What a marvelous stunt! Incredible!" He's really praising him on how he pulled off this wedding. You know what I mean?
And
then you talk about the hen and the rooster are Nora and James Joyce.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be around sometime in early March, 1971.
No, you're saying March, from the 4th to the 17th gets to March 21st going into March 22nd, the 17 days, right? From the 4th to the 21st. And he's coming out of it on the 21st, March 21st, 22nd. And he's, now, the, that is Connie's birthday. Carolyn's birthday is March 20th. And Nora's birthday is March 22nd.
Really?
Yeah. And some people think that the night of Finnegan's Wake, it's a, you know, Ulysses takes place in the day, and Finnegan's Wake is during the night on one level. And it is apparently Nora's night, you know, March 22nd or whatever.
Hmm.
And that is following from Molly and Ulysses, so to speak. You know, Molly ends, the monologue of Molly ends Ulysses. So you have this confluence of March 20, 21, 22nd, 23rd, that period, which is the spring equinox, the heavy time. And it's the end of the astrological calendar. Pisces is the last sign, and then it starts again with Aries on March 21st, 22nd in that period.
Oh, yeah.
So it's always on Carolyn's birthday. It's always the first day of spring. So she acts out. She is a breath of fresh air in her being, and so she... lives that day or that period astrologically. Yeah. It's in her being. But the other interesting thing is October 8th. It's a very important date in me and Connie's life, and it was in 1969 that I had a personal reading by Dave Worster, Channeling Cosmic Awareness, on October 8th. And you can see, I could actually go up and I featured in the Android...
I remember it. There was a whole thing that happened right around when I'm first getting into your stuff, when we were still talking about things on the Cloak and Dagger board. Someone, I forget who, but towards the end of the year, they made a post called Post of the Year, and they awarded me the Post of the Year award for a post that I had made on October 8th. And then I just happened to be able to notice, be looking at the right things to notice that not only was, because my post on October 8th had been about something to do with Bob's Day that I had heard of. Someone mentioned Bob's Day is December 22nd.
You mean J.R. Bob Dobbs?
No, like they were kind of referring to you, but I think it had something to do with, I think it might have been Randy Kopang and having something to do with maybe McKenna or the December 21st, 2012.
Okay, yeah, it's Bob's Day, maybe.
It was mentioned as Bob's Day, and I had mentioned that, and my post was on October 8th, and this post, titled Post of the Year, was on December 22nd, or December 23rd, I forget, it was one of those 2 days, and that was about my post of October 8th, and then in your diaries, there's this October 8th thing with Cosmic Awareness.
Yes.
And that you had had a, you had had the vision of this awareness indicates when you met Yates, you said.
Yes.
And then I noticed that post of the year anagrams to the Yates proof. So to me, that little knot there was like, okay, that's the proof. All right.
Yeah, and, no, that's really good, because I'm going to read you what Awareness said in a minute, but October 8th, it was significant. It wasn't, October 8th wasn't significant to me until I had this reading. And then I thought, oh, that's an interesting date. And then I eventually found out or remembered, found was retrieved, but I wasn't thinking of it in 69 when I had this reading, that October 8th is the day Nora and Joyce leave Dublin in 1904.
Ah.
So October 8th, he begins his exile. And so then, on October 8th, 69, which is, what, 47 years later? No, 1904, 65 years later. I ask Dave, who's in trance, and he's channeling cosmic awareness. I say, what is my purpose and direction? And I write here, David Worster, in brackets, in trance while lying on a couch. He says, this awareness, meaning cosmic awareness, this awareness indicates this within the previous message. So, something about me was said in the previous message, but I don't include that. It says that your action in relation to the symbolic language is that which is extraordinary. Now, Awareness had laid out the symbolic project with 144 symbols or 142 symbols, and very interesting symbolism. It's like the new post-Crowley, post-tarot card symbolism. And I was pretty good at using it or talking or thinking about it. And so that's what the Awareness is saying, that your action in relation to the symbolic language or symbolic project is that which is extraordinary. Then it says, this also will aid in relating higher abstractions within the psyche in a manner which creates the circumstances by which you may speak through more than one symbol simultaneously in a series of well-chosen words. This at a level of transpersonative interaction. Transpersonative was the Awareness's word for ESP. To me, that totally describes the Zenocrony effect I create.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I'm going to read it again. And also, it's appropriate I'm telling you this because you think, you're a high abstract person, I think. You know, you think in high abstractions. Is that true?
I savor them, at least.
Yes.
My favorite.
That what?
It's what? My favorite. It's what I go for, at least.
Yeah. In a way, what McLuhan called the form of learning called aphorisms. Aphorisms is maybe deals with higher abstractions rather than just mechanical logic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, so it says, the fact that I'm extraordinary. Now, I am, my chart is amazing hyper-symbolism. This very paragraph describes what I do through my chart, through my ratio. I relate higher abstractions, and I use words that people can see multi-levels in the words. So with that in mind, re-listen to this. My extraordinary action in the symbolic project will aid in relating higher abstractions, like the Android meme or the discarnate state and all that McLuhan did, or LaRouche or Croker or Thompson, these higher abstractions within the psyche, relating higher abstractions within the psyche in a manner, the way I do it creates the circumstances by which I speak through more than one symbol simultaneously in a series of well-chosen words. Now, if you ever listen to my radio shows, I have a small vocabulary. I take all the callers and questions and fit it into a vocabulary, which is a symbolic reference to the chart, which opens up into a lot of Baroque spirals. But if you notice, I keep the vocabulary pretty limited. If you're not interested in what I'm talking about, you will find me very boring quickly because I'm repeating myself, supposedly. You know what I mean?
But
I'm speaking through those series of well-chosen words, all kinds of multi-leveled symbol abstractions. And it says, This will also aid in relating higher abstractions within the psyche in a manner which creates some circumstances, by the ground by which you may speak through more than one symbol simultaneously in a series of well-chosen words. This at a level of transpersonative interaction. That's fucking the Zenocrony thing.
It's perfect, actually, description of that. And I don't doubt that. I mean, basically, it sounds like it. It sounds like you could have, you know, written it yesterday to to fake a prediction or something. But I'm sure that really is what was said to you back then. I mean, or you've had it in your diary for a long time anyway. And my experience has confirmed that.
Yeah, and I can show you. I have at that time Dave Worster's buddy. Lover and buddy and interpreter, the guy who would tape the sessions and kind of control the sessions, Vern Christensen, who we talk about on the Dave Worster interviews. You know, we're up to 23 hours of it on Dobstown.com. But the Vern would then take the tape and transcribe it, you know, type it up in an old clunky typewriter, and you could get the copy. I still have the piece of paper, well, several pages of readings I had from Cosmic Awareness in that period that Vern typed up. And so I could show you the actual, you know, what do you call it, torn, worn, faded out piece of paper with what I typed here for the internet.
Yeah.
You know, I could prove it's an artifact. I didn't make it up.
Yeah, no, and it's, the way that they say that, you know, you say it in a way that creates the circumstances to enable. It's like that somehow, you know, the waves end up creating like invisible domino chains leading off into the future that like marshal the help of completely disconnected timing forces to just like actually help people understand what you're talking about.
That's right. And
like it, you can actually have I'm not the only person who's had these experiences of like the reality that we're in and or the city or whatever kind of in the media environment, magnetic city, like rushing in to offer parables of what you're talking about.
You're saying you're not the only person.
Yeah, I'm not the only person who's experienced. It's like, well, the meme. I think it helps me understand this Android meme with this Android meme like falling all over itself to help me understand like what the Android meme is.
Right, good point. Now, what do I? I had met Joyce, but I was reading Joyce a little bit through those years, but not. I definitely, in 1999, if you told me that in 20 years I'd be on the radio trying to explain Finnegan's Wake, I wouldn't have believed it probably in 69, but 20 years later in 89 I'm doing it. And what is Finnegan's Wake? It's a book of higher abstractions in which it creates a circumstance by which you speak through, Joyce writes through more than one symbol, more than one language.
In a series, it says more than one thing at the same time.
Yeah, in a series of well-chosen motifs that he repeats. And I would say you got to have ESP to read Finnegan's Wake, so this at a level of transpersonative interaction. So this reading, which is pointing on one level to Finnegan's Wake, happens on the Joyce Day, you know, October 8th. That's the Joycing thing. So you go back to March 71. I'm dealing with the heavy McLuhan scholar. I mean, Finnegan's Wake scholar, Marshall McLuhan, that month. And a guy who acts out McLuhanism is Trudeau, and he does the scandal, which is like the crime in the park in Finnegan's Wake. You know, he marries this little girl, and that's going to lead to all kinds of image in the media in the next few years. But it's related to Finnegan's Wake, which ends, the 17-day cycle ends on Nora and Carolyn's birthday zone. And so I just wanted to show you how... you know, the March 71 true hallucinations does relate to me and the X-filing that we're dealing with here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's very interesting about, it makes me think, I don't know why I've never done this. I've always meant to just look up what interesting things happened around then, because it was the actual date that they triggered this or initiated this experiment in trying to, I mean, their optimistic hope at the time was that they were going to basically initiate the millennium of a kind of a paradise realm on Earth by what they were doing, and they sure created some amazing effects on themselves. And one of the interesting Xenocrony or Android meme, and we're running on the same spot since 1945, resonances is McKenna saying that he went back to the Amazon with one of the other people who had been there a little later, and they were doing these mushrooms, and he was saying the interior voice, like this kind of reassuring alien voice that that he found himself able to consult quite directly.
Yeah,
was telling him, saying it just kept reassuring me that since what we had done, since what Dennis had done on the on March 4th, that there was absolutely nothing else to do, that everything had been done, and that if there was anything else to do, it would, by definition, be what we were already doing anyway. Like, as far as immanentizing the eschaton or bringing about the proper psychic birth of humanity or the proper symbiosis with the mushroom alien or whatever it is that is the work, the great work. This voice kept reassuring him that everything's been done. That it's all. You know, it's finished. There's nothing's threatened, even if it doesn't look like the millennium's descended, like, it's over. So that's a very kind of, you know, that's part of the sense that comes across in reading your stuff, is like, it's over, folks.
That's right, and that comes from Dave Worster and the fact that Rai returned to the Plane of Essence in January 67. Now, if you look at the Thompson Quadrant, it's 67 to 72, and it was in that period that McKenna is having the alien contact. Robert Anton Wilson is having his weird UFO contact. And Philip K. Dick is, you know, 72, 73, 74. Now, that's all within the universal government quadrant. Everybody, it's like groping for images of what's the size of our body now since we've arrived at the discarnate state. So people started imagining, well, I'm so huge in the discarnate
state. Robert Anton Wilson's, like, Sirius is in my head, and the McKennas are realizing that the entire universe can be altered by what we do with our voices when we're high. And
yes. Those are all attempts. They're perceptual meltings of trying to conceive what the body percept is. It's being made huge by being electrified and discarnate. And so, since we still think in first nature terms back then, we think of what's the biggest thing and the furthest thing away to give the sense I have of being immense, which McLuhan was describing caused this need for immensity, and Joyce writes about it in Finnegan's Wake, this immenseness, is people trying to visualize the boundaryless tactile interval that is the electrified state. And it cannot be measured, but people grope for first nature images, so they think of galaxies billions of miles away and aliens way out there, the furthest reaches of first nature, and that they are in touch with us and inside us, trying to shrink first nature's imagery to mime the shrinkage that happened just by television and telegraph and radio and TV, you know what I mean, and the telephone. It's a groping. Yeah. McLuhan didn't get trapped in the groping for the images because he understood the causes. You know, Wilson and Dick and McKenna and William Irwin Thompson are groping for images. 20 years later, Thompson says in The Imaginary Landscape, he's talking to Francisco Varela, I think, in Paris, and he says, what's the shape? What is the shape of what we are today, you know? And and so all that shaping, groping for shaping, is happening in 67 to 72. And then after that, the android, the chip landscape starts being built, 72, 77, and that goes past the New Age visioning. Okay, so yes, the idea that something had Thompson felt that something had happened on the last day of 67, which is just about 12 months after Rai returns to Essence according to Cosmic Awareness, and then you have McKenna and them doing it in their way, saying it's been done, completed. And remember, McLuhan's way of saying it was completed, we have it not only just extended our body faculties, inner and outer, we extended the planet. which was October 4th, 57, the satellite, you know. That's the first concrete extension of the whole planet. That was his...
Yeah, and McKenna is intuiting that, you know, we're building up some kind of technology that is an extension of absolutely everything.
And that's why, you see, and he's fascinated by Finning's Wake and McLuhan, because McLuhan is writing in the early 60s about the satellite leads to the simulation of a collective consciousness. All the things that the hippies were instinctively, you know, rear-view mirror imaging, and McKenna was the archetype of that, and Wilson, and maybe K. Dick. They all were part of the counterculture, you know, San Francisco and that world there, and taking all kinds of drugs and feeling they're on the right track doing that. They're trying to eat first nature. Because after the satellite, first nature and second nature imploded. Now, I wanted to, they've merged, so it doesn't matter which you use, technology or first nature, to express something. They're both canceling each other out. So some go hyper Gaia, and others go hypo techno, like Croker. Okay, now I was going to say something else there. The other reading that I don't say here, I don't put here, it was done the same day, I think, or a few days, weeks after something. They said, Cosmere said, I would be very active, I would be in public relations for the Servants Awareness Movement, that I would be in the public being a communicator about the movement. Now,
that's what you're doing now, right?
Well, I've been doing it for decades, but... the awareness movement
in a more
died.
Explicit way now with these conversations being recorded.
Yes, yes. Now, 40 years later, I mean, it's almost 40 years ago I was told this, and I never did anything for the awareness movement or anything in public for 20 years, and the awareness movement died, meaning the group around Worcester, them. They didn't do anything. But Worcester said it was already done. We don't need to do anything. And Paul Shockley, though, went on and created the third mediumship and tried to create a movement out of it. And he kind of got in a lot of pain and agony, but he is more well-known than Dave Worcester. But Worcester and Paul Shockley died in 2006, and Dave Worcester, we discussed this in the interview in Paranoid Magazine, and Dave is still here. And he was older than Paul. But anyways, 40 years later, talking about the Hawaiian connection, in 1966, Ralph Doobie, the first channel for Cosmic Awareness, comes to Hawaii to create a cult out of the awareness movement. And he had a whole bunch of heart attacks, and he dies in January 67. And then when Worcester then 6 months later picks up the ball and starts channeling awareness, it comes through him that Doobie acted out the return of Rai to the plane of essence. And Rai was the original principality and guru and awe, gendering awe, and that created separateness between people. So it's like I know more than you. I'm enlightened and you're not, kind of stuff. That whole zeitgeist or meme got acted out in the death of it. Got acted out in Hawaii in January '67. Then Worcester, you know, when his channelings with awareness talked about the post-spiritual elitism thing, and said that one of our tasks as the Minister of Awareness is to deflate the Crowley Order of the Golden Dawn meme, which led into India Gurus and Theosophic Society and all that. That was the final movement of Rai was to be the Crowley kind of guy. So I found it very interesting that, as Robert Anton Wilson was to Leary, I am to Dave Worcester. Now, I never did anything with any of it until the late 80s when I got on CKLN. And every now and then I'd bring up Rai and talk about the battle between Cosmic Awareness and the Evergreens. And nobody would know what the hell I was talking about, but I would wait to see who would ask me. And occasionally someone would say, what the hell is Rai? But I never got to really develop it much, talk about it, until in the August issue of Paranoia. If you go to Conspiracy Culture Bookstore, they carry Paranoia, if the big magazine stores don't, and you'll see the latest issue. The last article is Rai, the Origins of Our World. And the Rai story gets out for the first time. And we interview Worcester, and we have an excerpt of Worcester in there, but you can, on the Paranoia website, you can get the whole interview. And we've now taken...
I think I read it all.
You read the whole...
Everything that's typed out on the website, anyway.
Good, good. You're up on it. Because here's the irony. Worcester used to... he used to tickled... he was curious about what I was doing in the media. And he used to be on our shows in L.A. in 93. You're making noises. What's that?
Oh, just we left the house and we're walking down the street.
Okay, well, watch
the truck going by.
No, but the breathing. Watch the breathing in the air. It drowns out things.
Oh, okay.
Is it daylight there?
No. Although I saw some people in the coffee shop getting ready to open. It's after 5.
Right.
But it's not. The sky isn't light yet.
Okay,
it's
so...
Like 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah. It's at 6.
Okay, so listen to this. So here it is, almost 40 years later... I come to Hawaii, and Worcester, I used to joke with Worcester privately. I said, I'm redoing Rai. I'm setting up a cult, an after image of the Rai action as a media hoax or whatever you want to call it, a media something. And, and like the Android meme is the cobwebs of Rai, the leftover, the after images. Okay, so here it is. I get to Hawaii, which is kind of like the utopia that Terrence was pining for, that's why he lived in Hawaii. Geographically, it's pretty idyllic, when you're here. And so I get here, and within a month or two of being here, I'm looking at a magazine that talks about Rai, and I'm doing the public relations for the Dave Worcester Awareness Movement.
Yeah.
40 years later, in Hawaii...
Oh, look, here I am.
In Hawaii, when right where Doobie died, Ralph Doobie acted out the Rai action.
It's perfect.
Yeah,
that is really funny that now you're actually actively, you can sort of like say, "Oh, look, I am doing PR for them."
Yes, it took 40 years, here's the thing: if you listen to me and Dave's dialogues, and we're up to 23 hours. We started in March, and then we picked it up in June, July, and we watched the financial Rai collapse while we're doing it.
Yeah.
The whole thing is
one
gone.
Of those other ghosts.
Yeah. Now let's go back to December 23rd, 1936 in Paris. This is the, I'm about 14 and I have the vision when I meet WBH. Whenever I met these heavy dudes, I'd have a vision, a psychic effect. So I go, it says, Bob wondered about the old man's, meaning WBH's, morbidity as Yeats uttered so clearly. Quote, the emotion of multitude is the key to survival today. As long as people have that, they can forget about death. So he says that to me, and then I go, and then it says, then Bob was in it. Then Bob, I was suddenly transported to a room, and a short man in a white robe lay on a couch. His eyes were closed. A flower fell slowly out of his hand, and the phrase, hey, listen, man, you're making a lot of noise. You got to stop walking or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Just stand there or sit down.
Away from my face.
Yeah. And so a flower fell slowly out of his hand, and the phrase, quote, this awareness indicates, unquote, started a sentence. That's what I saw. And the image faded, and Bob looked into WBH's eyes again. Now, the thing is that Yeats was the one who gave the occult instruction in Dublin when Joyce was growing up. And and Joyce made the date June 16th, 1904, the symbolic date not only of him having his first contact with Nora, but it also was a reference to June 16th, 1885, when the Theosophical Society first started in Dublin, when its branch opened. So there's this whole Freemasonic, occult order, the Golden Dawn reality, embedded in Ulysses. And then, many years later, I'm going to use Joyce and Finnegan's Wake to counter the Order of the Golden Dawn, almost like he did. He made fun of the Order of the Golden Dawn and Yeats and all these people in his books, just like Lewis did, Wyndham Lewis. But so I'm acting that out, but by my time, I've got the... I'm doing it at the end of the Rai action. So I'm just pointing out that W.B. Yeats... Order of the Golden Dawn, which awareness said was the final church, the New Age church, and Joyce intuited that and forever satirized the Krishnamurti, Blavatsky, Yeats movement. Okay?
Yeah. And it continues because when I suggested to someone on all the Slack that thing, like before I knew that the whole subject was totally full of explosive fumes, I might have even thought to suggest that Marshall McLuhan was the closest thing to a subgenius among well-known philosopher types. But, you know, of course, if you try to just bring up something like that about McLuhan on all that Slack, it doesn't work. Because, you know, they have all these automatic reactions there. But, and when I suggested that, it was, I think it was Ankara that I was going back and forth with, that they said, they pointed to Crowley as more of the subgenius character among well-known writer philosophers. So you got the Finnegan's Wake guy suggested, and then the subgenius counters with Crowley. So it's perfect that you're you know, sticking pins in their balloons, because they're carrying on a Golden Dawn-ish deal to a certain extent.
Yes, because they were so. The sound's good, but Stang and them were so inspired by Robert Anton Wilson, the Crowley propagandist in the early 70s. But the thing is that to say something is subgenius, to celebrate the subgenius, is to be anti-Rai. You're celebrating the norm, the dumb, the equal, the nobody knows anything, you know, and you mock anybody who pretends to be a priest of anything, right? From science to media personalities. So the actual ideology of the Church of Subgenius is correct. It's a cosmic awareness ideology. But the problem is, if you don't know the history, you will become a Rai action, as the Church of Subgenius is, unconsciously. Because you have to promote the subgenius ideology without having an ideology that people become hypnotized by.
Yeah, it's they're like acting out the final, you know, last attempt for that school to not take itself seriously or something, or the attempt to truly have the priesthood and mock it too without that becoming poisonous. But I guess the priesthood is just something, you know, medium is the message, like form just does what it does with any content, even the best, most paradoxical, most critical, most ideologically correct content.
Right.
It's just give it 25 years and it'll start to twist.
Exactly, and well said. It's the meta. And the final action of Rai is to be a meta, so that it can still pretend there's something to tell people.
I remember
one night in the McLuhan seminar after, we were sitting around talking, and this guy starts talking to McLuhan, and McLuhan says to him, "Well, you're trying to tell me something." The guy was shocked. And McLuhan had obliterated himself. He wasn't interested in hearing anything from anybody, so to speak. You don't try to tell him something. There's nothing to be told other than to dance. But if you make that the final message, you're still doing a Rai action. I'm the one who's canceling it way beyond what the subgenius can. I cancel, and cancel me canceling, and cancel the success of that, and I even cancel me being right.
Yeah.
So all of that goes back to the hen and the rooster. I won't go into it, but that's interesting ideology. Is symbolism in relation to me and Carolyn for something the Evergreens once told us, but that's top secret, and I'm not going into that. But the Nora Joyce thing is very relevant, and it all happened in March 71 when I'm interacting with McLuhan. You see, when McKenna and them are having their big vision, and the 17 and the Finnegan's Wake, I'm there at headquarters at one of the potential Rai actions, McLuhan. All the holy offices are attempts to be Rai, sort of, but are by people who don't want to be a Rai, but are forced to be the last Rai or last cobweb. So I'm with there, one of them, McLuhan, and we're doing and penetrating what McKenna's trying to figure out in the jungle. So that is why you're picking up this stuff, I suggest, and not as a Rai action, but as a ridiculous notion, right? A ridiculous pattern with much resonance. That what you're is showing how the X-Files and the McKenna world and your experience with that day or a few days after, while Rai's collapsing. Remember, that week, September 14th to the 22nd, is a peak period in the collapse of the financial Rai.
Yeah, the paper was filled with, it seemed like every day was a new unprecedented something. The Federal Reserve is doing this, it's never done before. This was the biggest bankruptcy filing ever. This was the biggest drop of the Dow ever. It was record-setting day by day.
Yeah, this is the biggest burning of a cobweb of Rai we've ever seen. And then 2 days later, oh my God, there's still another cobweb that's burning. It's even bigger, burning bigger. Now, we're into that this week. People are going to wonder, see, what happened back then, the 22nd, they led to the $770 billion bailout, right? And mm-hmm. and that was the national bailout, and that sort of collapsed. Now we're doing the global bailout, as announced on Sunday, and then the market went up. Will this global bailout work? Will it just be another cobweb?
If it is, then they will. Then they'll just distract, keep it going by distracting on to the whatever they managed to figure out to fake a universal solar bailout.
Good one, the solar. Well, that's when I come in. The solar government will end up. And I've already been doing that. And remember, I don't know if I put on tape last time, but August 26, 08. August 8th, 2 and 6 is 8 and 08. 8-8-8 is the big day when the solar bailout will happen. That is the day when the success of the solar bailout began. Okay, so that's what's coming.
Okay.
When I do the solar bailout. Okay, so...
Did you say August 08?
August 26, 08.
So it's already happened.
Yes, on that day it began. The breakthrough, the lockdown Bob Rule, if you want to call it, real, dramatic lockdown Bob Rule. I have in the chart that I'm president in 2012, that's probably going to happen. Now, it's totally unbelievable right now, right? It could be president of the world, president of the United States. You wouldn't, Bob's nuts. He's exaggerating. He's lying. He's a hoax.
Must be exaggerating.
What?
No, must be exaggerating. No,
yes.
I mean, that's the, it's pretty amazing. I can, after all these, I mean, just seeing, experience all these coincidences and the way that they build on each other and the way that all I can expect is that more people are going to be being initiated into experiencing these, and the people that have been experiencing them are going to be experiencing more interesting ones, and it might even be a kind of a pyramid scheme thing where as more people get in on the bottom level, the people who have already been riding it for years start getting huge dividends. if there's anything to this time wave, even if all there is to it is the effect of the prophecy fulfilling itself by, instead of being the fake 2000 millennium that people don't even believe is a millennium, but it's just a turnover of the clock, this is like the real, this is like the secret rebel millennium in the counterculture that people actually believe and can point to something real in the real world and say, this is the friggin' eclipse of the galactic center. There's going to be a weird lens beam that's going to laser galactic intelligence right into us as the sun rises. Even if it's just people freaking out, assuming that something is coming, things are going to get a little bit weirder and people are going to be more suggestible, and the suggestibility will be exploited by the Android meme. And if I just imagine... Sorry, hang on. I was being distracted by Xenocrates walking by. just bought a lottery ticket. Just remarking, oh, yeah, Kenzie bought a lottery. She bought two.
At the store, gave us the quarter I was short. I never buy lottery tickets. And I had to make a decision, go east or west. East is home, or go west is to the nice benches by the fire hall. And I decided to go west, and then we walked by these two old Italian men, and the one was talking to the other one, gesturing with his hands in the air, going, good luck, good luck,
Good one.
Good luck.
Yeah. Good one. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but, yeah, okay, with this,
It'll be piling up, dividends coming in for those that got in on the ground floor, and the Android meme will make everybody suggestible, is what you were saying.
Yeah, and if it's all powering up, you know, I mean, sure, it's 2008, and 2012 isn't that far away, but it's the kind of, you know how Terrence McKenna at some point said that, that one of the sort of core reasons he could rest on for endorsing psychedelics is that they're the only thing that he know of that could bring about a very fast, very dramatic, and potentially very lasting change in people and people's behavior, and that's what we need, drastic measures.
Yeah.
Like, me, I would like to add Xenocrony to that. Psychedelics and crazy Xenocrony. You know, most social reforms or something are going to take at least a few decades to slowly trickle in. But if storms of Xenocrony start sweeping the nation, honestly, it's like you say, you know what, that's probably going to happen, and I'm like, I cannot, being honest with myself, dismiss that as crazy.
Right, right.
Because I can imagine storms of Xenocrony sweeping the nation to the point where you are just carried into the friggin' highest office possible. Just somehow. Just through the weirdest, like, no one even knows how the hell it happened by the time it happened.
That's right. I agree. Very well expressed. So, we were talking about, I digressed into the X-File Thompson Quadrant, what I said to Stang in February 78, and then we went into the March, McKenna and Resonance with me and Carolyn. And now we come back out of that too. What happens next? Is that the end of your series after our conversation, or is there more? What do you have in your notes? I want to say this. So I end up in Hawaii, which McKenna's a prophet of, but he was miming what Ralph Doobie, the first channel for Cosmic Awareness, who was acting out the Rai separateness and priesthood. He came to Hawaii. You know, that's the ideal place if you're going to create a paradise. So he comes to Hawaii, but he blows it. And then 40 years later, I show up. But when I come here, I bring the story of the meaning of Ralph Doobie's death when he was here 42 years ago. And through Dave Worster. So if we're on long time cycles, the Worster message that I would be a PR person for the awareness movement, that didn't mean like in 2 years. It meant, well, Bob, it's a long-range movement, so you'll be doing that in about 40 years. And it came out. It happened. So here I am, looking at a copy of Joan Dark's Paranoia magazine with Dave Worster with the word Rai, which is one of the most obscure words in the world. No one's ever seen or heard of it before. And talking about the origins of our world while we watch Rai collapse all around us. The final software chip body Android meme financial part of Rai.
Yeah, circumstances are leaping in to help people understand what they're reading in the Paranoia magazine.
Exactly.
They're like, what is this, Rai collapsing? They look at the newspaper and it's like a thinly translated headline, Rai collapses everywhere.
Go to Dobstown.com and hear 23 hours from the high priest of Rai, Dave Worster. You know what I mean? It's all there for one to listen to.
Yeah.
And we have the
amazing. Congratulations.
Yeah, and then we have the parallel description by Gerd Stern, another 23, 24 hours of the Forrest Gump of the art world. He's a parallel. He actually crossed paths with Bob Carr, who had the light show on the West Coast called Retina Circus, and Gerd had the light show in New York City called Usco. And so there, you got the Gerd Stern interview from the East Coast and the Worster interview from the West Coast, with Bob Carr going to be interviewed next month. And these are historical people, all born in the same year, 1928.
Wow.
They're all 80 this year. Bob Carr, Dave Worster, and Gerd Stern. And the other guy who was part of this was Don Thiel, and he died. He didn't make it through the year, but he was born in 1928.
Man.
Okay. Wow. Remember Don Thiel, the all. Don, the all.
Don, the all. Don, the all. To put on everything, to play right.
Yes. To play right. Now, we go back to look. Okay, so I, the Hawaiian connection. That's what I wanted to tell you about the Terrence McKenna Hawaii connection. I'm here announcing that 2012 has happened over the past year, 2007, 2008. I was saying it months ago in January when I was interviewed in Eben, and January 3rd broadcast, and then it's manifested this year. And then a big thing happened on 888, August 26, 08, which is going to confirm all this. Let's go back to your notes. What comes next?
I was going to use this opportunity to toss it back over to you, actually, by saying that it's interesting that I was telling you on the phone about, I described the X-Files dream, got the X-Files, was interrupted from telling the X-Files dream to get the season of the X-Files, told you the dream and anybody who was listening. And then as I'm watching these episodes, we come up to an episode where Scully has this whole Xenocrony initiation thing, and while Mulder is not around, and in my dream Mulder wasn't around, and it began with something kind of sneaking up on her, and there was some kind of a shock that then she was waking up from, and she was calling for Mulder, but she was saying awkward, and Freighter 222 had gotten on five-bodied and swerved the ecstasy of communication to the awkwardness of communication.
Yes.
And her episode describing Scully's initiation into all this coincidence shed light on that in the sense of her being comfortable in her own personality and her skepticism and keeping her cool is her sort of habit personality that's been broken through, and she is forced into a very awkward space by these coincidences because she can't explain herself and can't explain what's going on and why she's feeling the way she's feeling, because it just happened by this astonishing chance that is sort of breaking through her skepticism like no proof in the lab ever could.
Yeah.
And while Mulder is away. And so that's perfect, but that's the dream that I had in March 2001, which was the first time I went to New York, which was within a week, I think, of Paul Laffoley breaking his legs there, and we keep meaning to get around to your story of meeting Paul or what connection that you have.
Yes.
With that.
And I'm just thinking that March 2001 is 30 years after March 71.
Yeah, true. So it's I think I went to New York probably sometime around the 8th or 9th.
Okay.
I think. And I that might have been the March 8th might have been the date I think I read that Paul broke his legs, and so it was March 4th, 71 that they did the experiment, but it took about 20 days or 17 days or so for the effect to wear off.
Right now, October 8th, I forgot to tell you this, it's October 9th, 2007 that the Dow reaches its highest point, the 14,000 thing we went through a little while ago. That's October 9th. That's after October 8th.
Okay.
There was something...
Ah, Christ.
Yeah, I'll just wait for
turning
that.
The other way.
Can I interrupt while we have this thing going on in the background?
Yes.
I just wanted to add, do you know anybody that has the Time Wave Zero software?
No, I don't.
I used to have it, but...
What I do know is that it got to a, like, the low point is the high point. It's the low numbers that mean much novelty. And it got to a low point around January and February of 2000 that, although the wave goes up and down variously since then, we don't actually get any further down than that point until sometime in 2010. So we're sort of in a little pocket of backwash of the river or something where we're still just filling out the assimilation of that new novelty drop until things actually start getting more novel than that, We still have, I think, a year or so. But in McKenna's books, there aren't really any very detailed reproductions that give you very small time frames.
Yeah, the thing I'm curious about is that with the TimeWave Zero software, you actually can zoom in right down to the hour of the day that you're experiencing right now. Like we could zoom in on the time frame that we're in right now. And I'm wondering if it seems to me that if we zoomed in on, say, this week, it should show that fluctuation. I would think it would show, if it's accurate, it would show those fluctuations in the stock market.
Yeah, I would think so.
But I don't know how to test that unless we can actually find the software.
Yeah, I really want to get my hands on that software. Now you mentioned it, I've sporadically really wanted to for years, I guess.
I just found a place on the internet where you can download it as a BitTorrent, but I'm reluctant to do that because sometimes you end up getting unwanted crap with those BitTorrents that can infect your computer. But
mm-hmm.
I'm putting it out there. If anybody listening to this wants to take a risk, go find it on BitTorrent, download it. It'll run on Windows 2 and Windows XP. See if it's actually mapping what's... Okay, continue.
The noise, everybody. So, geez. Paul Laffoley? Hello? Anybody there? Yeah, we're here. Sorry, I had the mute on. Okay. I want to get into Paul Laffoley, but just before that, so that noise, is that the a murder ambulance? What's happening there? Hey, Scott.
Yeah.
Is he gone?
Yeah, apparently.
Okay, let me just. I guess I press the other thing and get him on again.
Okay.